Good morning, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to Banco Panamericano's conference call to discuss the 2010 results. This event is also being broadcast simultaneously on the internet, both audio and slideshow, which can be accessed on the company's IR website, www.panamericano.com.br/ir, with the respective presentation. We would like to inform you that all participants will be in listen-only mode during the company's presentation. After the company's remarks are completed, there will be a question-and-answer session. At that time, further instructions will be given. Should any participant need assistance during the call, please press star zero to reach the operator. Before proceeding, let me mention that forward-looking statements about Panamericano's business prospects are being made based on beliefs and assumptions of Panamericano management and on information currently available to the company. They involve risks, uncertainties, and assumptions because they depend on circumstances that may or may not occur in the future. Investors should understand that general economic conditions, industry conditions, and other factors could cause results to differ materially from those expressed in such forward-looking statements. Now I turn the conference over to Mr. Calvin Morris, who will begin the presentation. Mr. Morris, you may begin your conference.
Good morning, everybody. Ladies and gentlemen, my name is Calvin Morris, and I'm the Investor Relations Manager for Banco Panamericano, and I welcome you to this presentation. I have here with me two of our directors, the CEO, Mr. Celso Antunes, and the Investor Relations and Funding Director, Mr. Celso Zinni. Now, let's go to the agenda. I'm going to walk you over the main highlights of the bank. I'm going to give you an overview. I'm going to go into the rationale behind the financial statements, and I'll be talking about the measures taken and a forward outlook. Briefly, the highlights of the bank. As you know, the capital stock of the bank in December 31 was 244 million shares, split 132 million in registered voting stock and 112,000 registered preferred non-voting stock. The breakdown is as follows, as you see in chart number four. The Silvio Santos Group had 37.6% of the total stock. CaixaBank, which is from the Caixa, had 36.6%, and the free float stood at 25.8%. As you know, in January 31, an agreement and a purchase and sale agreement was reached with Banco Pactual S.A. between Silvio Santos Group and them, and the Silvio Santos Group's portion was sold to Banco Pactual S.A. Now, the breakdown of the shares is basically the same, substituting the group of Silvio Santos by Banco Pactual, 37.6%, 36.6%, and 25.8% continues to be the free float. Briefly, going over the products on page five, we are focused on consumer financing, basically. I have a little bit of corporate lending as well. Later on, some of that. In the lending side of financial and the consumer, we do the personal credit by financing vehicles, automobiles and SUVs, motorbikes, trucks and buses, and we have the auto plan, which is the refinancing of a paid-off automobile. We also finance all types of home appliances, construction, etc. A large portion of our business does derive from payroll deduction lending to the civil servants, to private borrowers, and to the INSS, which is the Brazilian version of the Social Security, the retirees under this program. We do leasing, basically only of vehicles, all types of them. We have a cards operation. We do represent Visa and Mastercard, and we have our own private label cards as well. In insurance, we have a subsidiary, 100% owned, basically, and we deal in life, accident, unemployment, loss and theft, and we also insure borrowings. Group financing is also what we call a consortium here in Brazil. It's for the financing of vehicles, home appliances, and real estate. Insofar as the corporate side of the business, we just started doing this business a little bit over a year ago, and we are focused on middle-market corporation. What we do is make working capital loans to them. We do give advances against credit card receivables. We do finance operations guaranteed by receivables. We do grant advance accounts to the companies. We issue bank guarantees, bids and performance ones and so forth. We do export bills, discounting, and this part of the business looks to be extremely promising. We have close to 600 million reais in our portfolio of corporate lending. As you know, we have a large distribution network in the country. You go to page 6. We have a capillarity. It's tremendous. We cover the entire Brazilian territory. The breakdown of how we are located of this network is basically along the regional GDP. So the Southeast, which is the hub, the financial and industrial hub of the country, is where we do concentrate the majority of our operations, obviously. We do operate in all of the Brazilian states, and we do have something like 270 sales points. Some of them are direct branches, and some of them are franchisees. Through them, we do handle over 20,000 commercial partners. That's auto dealers, furniture shops, etc., etc. And to help this structure out, we have 800 call center positions. And mind you, this call center is a proactive call center, not a reactive one. It is a very good marketing tool, and we operate it in two shifts during the day. Going forward, just briefly, highlights of the numbers. We do have 2,100,000 active clients. They're borrowers of ours, all types of loans, as you saw before. We have credit cards to the amount of 1,200,000 issued and activated. Our origination, new business, in terms of new loans, is at the level of 1 billion reais monthly. This was our high position in December. Insofar as the ranking in the financing of products, we have the fifth place in financing automobiles or vehicles in general in this country, and we're the number one in financing motorbikes, only brand new, mind you. As to the funding sources of the bank, it's fairly varied. As you can see, we have a focus on time deposits. It's pretty high. It's close to 5 billion reais. Just briefly touching on the larger numbers, the second largest source of funding is credit assignments, whereby we sell loans on our books to other institutions. The third largest is foreign funding, i.e. it's bonds and notes issued in the international markets, as you well know. Going forward, I would like to touch briefly on the portfolio. That's page 9 of our presentation. We have the portfolio, the credit portfolio, broken down as follows. Consumer and personal loans is the largest portion of it, does represent 4.7 billion reais. The second largest goes down to payroll discount lending, which is 11.2% of our entire portfolio, followed closely by leasing operations, which is 10.6% of the portfolio, totaling 1 billion reais. Middle markets, as I mentioned briefly, the portfolio is 646 million reais. This 9 billion reais, 9,900 million reais, is broken down in individuals borrowing and corporate lending from between the two. It's 8,700 million and 1,200 million. You see that we did separate the 3 billion that's credit portfolio assigned to third parties, because there the bank is co-responsible. Should the borrower not pay, the bank ends up paying it off. Now, we're going to go to an overview of what has happened recently, and please do follow me. You go to page 11 of the presentation. On November 9, as you saw through a material fact we published, accounting inconsistencies were uncovered by the Central Bank of Brazil here in this institution. And these accounting institutions made the Central Bank pressure the institution into dismissing the previous management, and new management was hired. This new management is composed of five, it's a total of eight directors, as we call them here. Eight of them is the total number. Five do come from the Caixa, which is one of the main shareholders, as you know, and the other three are experienced professionals from the market. In November itself, the controlling shareholder, Silvio Santos, made a deposit of 2.5 billion reais to cover the inconsistencies that came to light, which is a sort of brand new thing here in this country, actually. Going forward, the management, the new management, was involved in a lot of heavy-duty work. They revamped the whole institution. They not only went after the numbers, and they did change the entire structure of the banks. In December, they did, however, come to the conclusion that the numbers originally uncovered by the central bank were actually larger, and the numbers did point toward the possibility that additional resources would have to be required. The bank did its own inspections and new management. They came to a number, and the outside auditors did also come to a number, and the number of the bank and that of the outside auditors was fairly close to each other. Furthermore, the new management, to reconcile these numbers, did hire Pricewaterhouse, the second audit firm, to work on a reconciliation of all this data, and Pricewaterhouse's figures, without them going through the process we did, it's a process on their own, is very close to the numbers that both the bank and Deloitte did uncover. This was uncovered in the last days of December. The number was 1,300,000,000 additional inconsistencies in the accounting. This was brought in January to the attention of the authorities, the regulators, Central Bank, and the FGC, which is the credit guarantee fund we have here in Brazil. The bank passed on the problem to them, and we, the bank's management, stood back for the solution that the regulators and the Fundo Garantidor de Crédito, the FGC, were discussing. The bank did not participate in the discussion for a solution. During the month in January, we issued the material fact informing that there were negotiations underway with Banco BTG Pactual, with the Silvio Santos Group, under the booking of the regulators and the Fundo Garantidor. A deal was struck on the last day of the month of January, whereby Banco BTG Pactual bought out Silvio Santos' position. Furthermore, Silvio Santos came up with an additional 1.3 billion reais to cover the additional inconsistencies discovered. Now, coming into February, where the work is very hard going on to format and prepare the financial statements and support statements that you have already seen in our site, and we are going to go through that briefly. Before that, I would like to disclose to you what was the number actually of the entire problem uncovered, and how was it made up. Actually, the portfolio of 1.6 billion was inflated. That was a portfolio not existent that was carried on the books. 1.7 billion is 1.7 billion reais is loans that have been liquidated by the borrower, prepaid loans, and loans that have been refinanced also have been to substitute the old loans, and these loans have not been registered in the books. What has happened is that since these loans were sold to third parties, what should have happened, better said, is that when the borrower did pay off, the bank should have paid off the third party to whom the loans were sold. But this did not happen. The resources were kept inside the organization, and no provisions, mind you, were set up before the payments going down the road. Furthermore, irregularities in loan loss provisions came to light. Loan loss provisions were undervalued by the total of 500 million reais. This comes up to the 3.8 billion we mentioned, and this is the money actually that Mr. Silvio Santos did provide for the institution to cover these inconsistencies. Furthermore, there were additional inconsistencies uncovered, wrong mark-to-market provisions. We had to adjust that as well. It was a total of a little bit over 300 million reais, and there were sundry other provisions undervalued for 4.2 billion reais. Overall, problem amounted to 4.3. Going forward, what were the sources of the resources to cover this? The shareholders' deposit, the first one was in November for 2.5 billion reais. Actually, of this, 200 million reais was transferred to the credit card admin company, which also had problems, as you know. This made a total into the bank of 2.3 billion. An additional deposit by the shareholder was made at the end of January for 1.3 billion reais. This, as you see, comes to 3.6 billion. Now, the bank has a large amount of fiscal credits, and the difference from 3.6 billion to 4.3 was the activation of 0.7 billion reais of these fiscal credits. Actually, there are a lot more that are kept in reserve. Going forward, I would like to go over the rationale of the numbers. First of all, let's talk about third quarter financials. The third quarter financials had to be published. Its disclosure is mandatory by the local SEC, they're locally called the CVM. There's no way that you could avoid not publishing these numbers. We were very leery of doing it, but we had to do it because these numbers didn't reflect absolutely anything. We disclosed these numbers through the site of the CVM, and unfortunately, they do not present any consistency whatsoever. They're contaminated numbers. We do not recommend you analysts to study these numbers or to compare them to the numbers that we came up with later on. And also not to compare them with previous numbers of the previous periods due to absolute lack of consistency in the data. These issues I just mentioned were highlighted in our financial statement. New management did take stock of the situation of the bank. We conducted a complete and full-fledged analysis of everything that the bank had in terms of payments, debts, etc., obligations that it had, plus all the receivables that the bank had in place. So what we did was prepare a financial statement at the end of November, for November 3210, which is an opening financial statement. It's a true and complete x-ray of the situation of the bank. There's absolute impracticability of any comparison between results for 2010 and those for the preceding periods, as I already mentioned briefly before. Why we did this is because there's a tremendous necessity in presenting consistent and true numbers. The opening financial statement, how did we come to that? The one I just mentioned, please go to page 17. We took complete stock of all rights and obligations of the company, as I mentioned before. we've with that established a new accounting base as the starting point of the true equity of the company, the true overall situation of the company. So therefore, an opening financial statement was prepared. This did book all the adjustments and inconsistencies of that we came across. A little bit was left over for December because they only came up in December, but it's a very small amount actually. And we have to utilize this opening financial statement to compare with the final numbers for December. So there's no use you're comparing either November or December to the previous periods. Please compare December to November. Going forward, we will go to the profit and loss statement for December last. We have, I show you that the results for the month of December, it was a loss for the month of 142, and I'll go through the numbers with you. Income from financial intermediation was 179 million reais. 142 million of that is from credit operations. The expenses on the other side with financial intermediation were 184 million, of which brought a result in terms of gross result of financial intermediation of 5 million negative. The larger figure under the 184 million is marking to market derivatives. We also had income from banking fees totaling 21 million, and there we go through the expenses, personnel, admin, taxes, and other expenses, which total 143 million, which brings the operational result of the institution in that month to 148 million. We also have a non-operational result of 17 negative, and on the other hand, we have credits from income tax and social contributions, which are the fiscal credits for 23 million. The end result for the month was 142 million loss. Mind you, again, I highlight that it was the mark-to-market of derivatives the main responsible for this figure. Going forward, a brief breakdown of assets and liabilities. How are they put together? We have cash and banks, it's a nominal figure, it's only 8 million reais, but we have overnight investments, liquidity investments in government bonds and notes and so forth for 1 billion 600 million reais. We also have 1.6 million reais in securities, of which the greater portion, close to 1.2 billion reais, is quotas in the FIDCs, the subordinated quotas of the FIDCs, which do belong to the bank. The credit portfolio does add up to 6.3 billion reais, basically almost 3 billion in consumer, direct consumer lending, financing, you know, goods, vehicles, and so forth, and 1.1 billion reais in payroll discount lending. Of the other credits and assets receivable, 1 billion 4 reais do represent tax credits. We have other securities and fixed assets and intangibles adding up to a little bit over 250 million reais, which brings the total assets of the corporation to 11.5 billion reais for December. As the liabilities are concerned, you go to slide number 21, please. Deposits do represent 5.6 billion actually, of which time deposits are 4.7 billion. Interbank deposits is 137 million. Bond issues are 849 million. Interfinancial, which is the sub-debt, is basically 1 billion 66 incorporated under the 1 billion 595. Derivatives represent 453 million, and then we have other liabilities summing up to 2.7, leaving a net worth of practically 200 million, which closes to 11.5 billing as before. Going forward, I would like to go through the net worth, the equity. This is slide number 22. Net worth equity is 200 million, 197. Capital of the institution, the nominal capital is 1.1 billion, and capital reserves are 0.2 million. Accumulated losses do sum up to 911 million. That's why we come down to the net worth of only 197 million. I'm going to try to reconcile with you the reference equity of the institution, which is 888 million reais. Level one, this is made up of the weighted risk exposure of 1 billion. We have prefixed interest in the calculation plus the operational risk. The required reference equity by the authorities is 1.7 billion, and to that we have to have the 75 positioning risk, and this brings a margin of 2.6 billion. The Basel index is 5.7, it's negative. Going forward, here's the formula and how we're going to cover, how these limits are going to be covered, bringing the Basel index back to a positive. Deposit of the shareholder of 1.3 billion, I mentioned before, was effected in January 31, as you saw. We have, from the Fundo Garantidor de Credito, the Credit Guarantee Fund, a limit of up to 3.5 billion reais for ceding credit rights. We can sell them assets. The results of the assignments that she did do, gross results, were for 700 million. So we got back, we subtract from the 701.3, the 888 negative, we come back to a positive of close to 1.3 billion. The calculation is PR, which is the reference, to is PR1 plus PR2. The PR2 is the Tier 2 capital, actually, which is composed of the subordinated debt of $625 million, which can be utilized for capital purposes. Also, should resources be required to recompose further this, a deposit will be made in an escrow account with the central bank, from which we can draw down the figures as required. Now, going forward, as we stand, what were the measures that the institution took to write itself out? As you well know, it was a tough job to reconstruct an entire institution which was riddled with problems. The reconstruction of the numbers, as you saw already, is only part of the story. It is fundamental for you to know that internal controls were absolutely reorganized. Compliance, it's a new department. Audit, new people. Committees, many committees that did not exist were established, and those that did were entirely revamped. Risk management, a completely new outlook, approval limits for credit operations and so forth, everything was strongly restructured. So a strong corporate governance is a guarantee for going forward. Responsibilities. There was no segregation whatsoever of responsibilities. Basically, all the responsibilities of the institution were below two individuals. This has changed. Now we have 8 managing directors, each responsible for a given segment of the institution. We did establish price and risk policies, which were also very loose. That's why much of the problems did arise. And we did review all contracts and commissions payable, which is also part of the problem. Excessive commissions were being paid out. As going to the business side of it, we, as I mentioned, we did restructure the risk commissions and the contracts, with which we did achieve a significant reduction in funding costs. We have a good side to the entire situation. We did lose some of the depositors that were being paid excessively high rates of interest, which the institution did pay out in the future. With the revision of policies, credit and collection models, streamlined operation is in place. We did come up with an operation agreement with the Caixa, which has quite a few clauses. We do have, apart from the economical clauses, obviously, we have quite a few synergies with the Caixa. We do have products the Caixa does not have, which the Caixa will be gladly sell through the branches, and we will be also selling products from the Caixa through our branches. It's a matching operation. We're coupled. We are very close to each other because we're focused on the same economical classes in this country, the same segment of borrowers, which are the clients of the two institutions. Insofar as the funding goes, both the Caixa has given us a limit of 8 billion reais for us to make credit assignments with that. With this, we generate credits, we can sell it on to the Caixa, and we can leave room in our balance sheet for more generation of credits. And we are quite a machine of credit generation. We also have a facility for 2 billion reais for interbank funding. The focus of the institution continues strongly on consumer financing with the Caixa. Now, as of the agreement with BTG Pactual, which still is pending the central bank approval, obviously, this which is signed January last, the entire new vista will open up. As you know, BTG is very strong in corporate business, a strong investment bank. And they also have a very good middle market department, which is an area we will be expanding together. It is fundamental for you to keep in mind that BTG did not buy Panamericano out in order to resell it. They want to have an arm in the consumer financing business. They have been looking for that for quite a while, and they are very happy to be a partner in the business going forward. Thank you. That's it. And, we are going to open for questions and answers, please.
Ladies and gentlemen, we will now begin the Q&A session. If you would like to ask a question, please dial star 1. If at any point your question has been answered, you may remove yourself from the queue by pressing the pound key. We have a question from the line of Christina Ronek with Macquarie Capital.
Hello, good morning. Thank you for the call. I have several questions, if you don't mind. Can you give us some timing on when the actual closing up with BTG Pactual will take place?
As you know, the closing did obviously happen between the partners, but it has to be approved by the central bank. This is a process that might take, 2 months, 1 month, 3 months. We do not control the central bank on how it operates, nor the speed of its operations. We've seen many of these negotiations in the marketplace, and they could vary from 1 month all the way up to 6 or 7 months. So anywhere in between is the time frame we are expecting.
Okay, that's helpful. Thank you. And then in that $184 million mark-to-market, that includes a mark-to-market derivative, can you tell us what amount that is and an estimate of what that number may be now?
For the month of December, it was 142. This 142 is embedded into the overall expenses you saw there. The overall that's accumulated mark to market is 350 million, roughly.
Okay. And then of the 4.7 billion of time deposits that you have now, do you expect as that runs off to refinance that with loan assignments or FIDICs?
Could you repeat the question, please? I didn't quite get it.
Sorry, maybe this is better. Of the 4.7 billion time deposits, I don't know how much of that is guaranteed, and as that runs off, matures, as it doesn't become available, if you're going to refinance that with FIDICs or loan assignments going forward.
Of the guaranteed, the so-called DPG,
that's right.
From the 4.7 billion, close to 2 billion is the DPG.
Okay. And just to clarify on the Basel index, I think you said to adjust for the negative 2.6, you have 1.3, since the end of December, you have 1.3 coming in, plus 700 million from assignments, plus 625 in PR2 to get you to 2.6. So my understanding that now you're pretty much at zero or close to zero. So going forward, how do you get to the required Basel percentage is 11%.
Well, let's start from the beginning. The negative required capital is close to 900 million, right? From that, added to that, we have to add the shareholders' deposit, which was 1.3 billion in January, if you recall, okay? This brings it up to a positive of 400, okay? Now, we did have loan assignments close to 3.5 billion in January. These loan assignments generated results, gross results, mind you, of 700 million reais. From this, obviously, I have to deduct the admin expenses and so forth. We didn't close yet the January's figures, so I don't know the exact amount, but the ballpark figure anywhere between 400 and 500 is a positive end result of that. To that, I have to add, obviously, the Tier 2 issues. When I have a negative Tier 1, I cannot utilize the Tier 2 capital. With the positive Tier 1 capital, I definitely can utilize the Tier 2 capital, and I have a leeway of obviously very close to $600 million, mind you, to do that as the business grows going forward.
Okay, that's helpful. So then with 600, then that will bring your Basel index to about what percent?
We expect the Basel in January, without having closed the figures, so it's an estimate, but anywhere between 11.5 and 12.
Okay, thank you very much.
My pleasure.
Our next question comes from the line of Natalia Korsfield with ING.
Hey, hi, good morning. A follow-up in this question that you just answered, Kalman. You're saying that the Basel can go up to 11.5 to 12%. But isn't that too close to the limit? How are you guys planning to grow your loan portfolio with Basel ratio so low? Do you have any other plans or any other measures to recapitalize the bank?
There will be no capital increase in the short time for obvious reasons. Number one, we are going to have a new partner in a short while coming into the business. These capital issues obviously will be in his bailiwick because he has the controlling shareholding position. Now, insofar as business is concerned, you saw that we are generating 1 billion reais in new business every month. So this operation in this bank, as of now, is profitable. The institution is going forward in a profitable way. We will close a profitable year.
So you think that what you have now is going to be enough to carry on the operations, at least in the short term?
It's absolutely enough. Mind you, you cannot forget that we have tremendous facilities to generate liquidity by discounting receivables with the Caixa. Banco Pactual has also offered for the future, once it's in place, an additional limit of 4 billion reais for the discount of assets. So liquidity is never a question. Once you have enough liquidity, we have a machine in place that generates substantial volumes of business every month. Going forward, I dare say we might go another 20 or 30% during the year in terms of business generation.
Okay, and another question, a curiosity that I've seen in your balance sheet with regard to your provisions, since part of the problem you had was related to provisions. I've seen that the loans that you have in your inside the balance sheet, the total provision represents more or less 13.7%, whereas the assignments that you have made, the provisions represent more or less 3.6%. My question is, looking at those figures, I have the impression that the loans that you have on balance sheets, they seem to be to have a much lower quality than the loans you have outside the balance sheet that were ceded. Is that correct?
Natalia, it is obvious that when you sell assets, you sell quality assets to the buyer. They obviously wouldn't want to accept certain types of loans. This is a given. But also, the provisions, as you saw, have been entirely brought up to date on both sides of the balance sheet, in the balance sheet and outside the balance sheet, because they have recourse against us. And this policy will continue. The provisions will always also be top of the line, not to mention that the tendency is for the portfolio to improve in quality because we revamped the entire credit operation and institution. It is a very professional situation going forward.
Okay, and thank you. And just a last question with regards to your bonds, the 12s and the 15s. We know that they have this change of control clause. And, of course, as you say, you still don't know when BTG is going to really step in. And therefore, I imagine that you still don't know when you're going to use the control clause. But do you know what's the level that you're going to call the notes if it's at par?
You have in the both senior debt outstanding to a total of 500 million. 200 million matures in 2012 and 2012, and 300 million matures in 2015. Both of these issues have the change of control clause embedded in them. Obviously, as you know, the market reacts differently to the news, and one of the issues has prices over par, the other one is slightly below par. Once the Banco Pactual does finally get approval from the central bank, we have a time period of 15 to 30 days to call issue a notification to all the bondholders that this put clause is in effect. Now, the bondholders will be the ones deciding whether they want to do it or not. The time period for them to exercise the put is 30 days, because there will be a date given for that, and it is a 30-day time period. If they don't do it in the 30 days, that's it.
Okay, and is FR?
Sorry?
Is it FR?
It is. It is FR, okay. Yes.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
Our next question comes from the line of Lena Maria Garcia with UVB Financial Services.
Mr. Kalman, nice to talk to you. This is Lena Garcia from UVB Financial Services. How are you, sir?
Very good, Lena. It's a pleasure hearing you.
The same here. Thank you for the conference call. Very insightful, as always. I just wanted to clarify, because I hear you talk that the transaction between Panamericano, and it was between Panamericano and Pactual as an institution, as the bank, and we also hear that it's Mr. Estevez as a private investor. Exactly, is the bank or him himself doing the investment in Panamericano?
The bank, Banco Pactual, did buy into Panamericano, Lina. Mr. Estevez is one of the partners in BTG Pactual. So there are many partners in the business. He's, let's say, the main partner. He was the founder of the institution. He runs the show. He's the CEO and so forth, but he has large, strong partners along with him. It is the institution going forward.
Okay. Thank you.
My pleasure, Lena.
As a reminder, in order to ask a question, press star 1 on your telephone keypad. We have a question from the line of Alejandro Luciano with Credit Suisse.
Hi, good morning. I just have a quick question. It's regarding the subordinated 2016 notes, which are callable in July. Do you have any plans to call those bonds, especially given that it could be a possibility that the transaction actually closes after these bonds become due? So I just wanted to get a little bit of color on these notes. Thank you.
As I told you, there are two issues, one for 200, another one for 300, but the one for 200 matures in 2012. The other, the 300 in 2015. Now, the decision to exercise the put is the investor's decision. And I do believe that the investor, since the put is at par, mind you, the decision to exercise it obviously will be made depending on the price of the bonds in the marketplace. We do not control that.
No, thank you. But these are regarding the 2016, the subordinated notes that are callable in July.
The 2016 sub debt, we have a call clause. The exercise of that call clause has not yet been decided. Mind you, we have a new controlling partner coming into place. The decision has to be run through him once he's in place. So this has not been discussed yet.
Okay. But I guess that if you were to, in order to keep your Tier 2, it kind of doesn't make sense to call these and not refinance them, correct?
Well, the option is to call. I don't have to, and I have margin enough with the remaining $500 million to cover my Tier 2 requirements. That's not the case in point. If the new controller so wishes, he will exercise the call clause, yes.
Okay, perfect. That's exactly the answer that I was looking for. Thank you very much.
My pleasure.
Your next question comes from the line of Jose Burnham with Sandar Securities.
Hello, good morning, everybody, and thank you for the call. My question is regarding the shareholder agreement, and I don't know if it's already available. And if you can please tell us what is the main difference between this shareholder agreement between Pactual and Caixa and the one with Silvio Santos. Thank you.
Well, let me try to explain. Number one, we have a shareholder agreement with the cash, as you well know, which we have talked a lot about that. A shareholder agreement with PAC-12 is not yet in place. I know the plans of PAC-12, yes, they intend running the business, making it grow. They're focusing both on the consumer lending and on the middle market operations, because they're very strong in the middle market operations, yes. But more than that, from PAC-12, I cannot tell you because they're not here.
Okay, thank you. If I may, I have another question. It's regarding the this money come from a fund, the 2.5 billion of the FCC and the additional 1.3. I would like to know where the company is going to record it on the balance sheet. What is going to be the name of this line item?
Well, the monies were deposited by the shareholder. Where he got the money is actually in his bailiwick, not ours. I basically have an idea, but that's it. How did we book this? The 2.5 billion went into the profit and loss account to cover all the losses that we mentioned during the presentation. The 1.3 went into equity without altering the shareholder's position either way. No shareholder's position is being changed. This was made to cover the losses and to beef up the equity.
Okay, thank you very much.
As a reminder, in order to ask a question, press star 1 on your telephone keypad. Have a follow-up question from the line of Natalia Corso with ING.
Hi again. Sorry to repeat, to come back again, but I think I missed something. You said about the 16th that are callable in July this year, the subordinated note. Have you said that there is a possibility of calling this note?
As I mentioned to the previous question about that. We have that call clause in the issue, undoubtedly. But whether we're going to call it or not, I do not have an idea, because this is going to be in the bailiwick of the new controlling shareholder. He, if he feels like it, he's going to exercise it. If not, it will continue until final maturity in 16.
Okay, thank you.
Our next question comes from the line of Diego Cunha with RXV Investment.
Hello, good morning, everyone. Common, can you give us a glimpse of the developments about the time deposits that were discovered above the market prices this year?
There was no negotiation whatsoever.
So I may assume that this time deposit is still running on, right?
They are being paid off as they mature. No renegotiation, no new issues at those levels. We're issuing bonds at very low levels today.
Okay. Thank you.
So the next question comes from the line of Ramush Narayan with Infosys.
Yes, I would like to know how much BTG Pactual paid to acquire the controlling stake in Pan Americano.
Well, it's an interesting question. Number one, we, Banco Panamericano, were the object of the deal. It's just like a car sale. We were bought or sold. We, Banco Panamericano, did not participate in the deal per se. Now, from what I gather, from what I saw in the media, that's all I know about it, is that there was a given price that Mr. Esteves, through his bank, paid to Silvio Santos, and this is public knowledge. He paid 450 million reais, but this is the consequence of a final price of 3.8 billion, which has a maturity of 17 years, and it has an interest rate which was brought down to present value, which makes it out to 450. Mr. Silvio Santos did not see the color of this money. This money ended up with the Fundo Garantizador de Crédito.
Okay. Okay. So there was no any cash transaction, is it?
Sorry?
There was no unique cash consideration.
No cash whatsoever. These were bills of exchange or promissory notes or whatever.
Okay. Okay. All right. Thanks.
Your next question comes from the line of Igor Marisi with Espirito Santos.
Hello, hi, good afternoon. Hi, Commander. Thank you very much for the call. Just to follow up in one of the previous questions, just to make sure, the initial 2.5 billion reais that was received in November last year was fully allocated to the profit reserves line in your balance sheet. So none of it will be going to the rebalance of the shareholders' equity of the bank. Is that right?
Absolutely. What it was used for was to cover the problems. As you saw in the presentation, when the central bank did the audit, they came up with the number of 2.5, and when the new management took over, the number was larger by 1.3 billion, which was deposited in January. The 2.5 went into the reserves to cover those inconsistencies.
Okay, great. So is the full 1.3 billion reais now going to the shareholders' equity?
Yes.
Okay, that's perfect. Thank you very much.
Since there seems to be no further questions, I would like to turn the floor back to Mr. Calman Ward for his final remarks.
Well, thank you all for listening to or participating in this conference call of Banco Panamericano. It was really a very interesting opportunity to be able to discuss with you all the recent happenings and where we're going in the future. I thank you again for your participation, and I do believe the page has been turned and we will have a very, very strong and growing bank going forward. Thank you all.
This concludes Banco Panamericano's conference call. You may now disconnect and have a good day.